Behold, an army shall come. A fire burneth before them, and behind them is the flame that burneth. The land before them is as the garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, and he takes you on a journey into God's own word. It's building time, building time.
Environmental operations of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man. It is like a sanitary assignment. When the Holy Spirit becomes the chief sanitation officer of your life, and you will not know how dirty you have become over the years until someone who is clean has come to clean you to his own state. And if someone who is not to organize an environment without you accept like that, he himself will tell you that he has done the best he could do. You get what I'm saying? Until someone who is more experienced, someone who is higher, someone who is better, someone who will not compromise standard, someone who can say that my foundation stands sure, having this seal, I know those that are mine. Until that fellow comes and begins to highlight different things and show you, and that's when it occurs to you that you don't even know anything about making your life clean. So the Holy Spirit comes as the purifier. He's the one who purifies the sons of Levi. He's the one that purifies us with fire. And then comes. And then sits upon your life. Then it begins to dawn on you that you are like that generation described in Proverbs 30 verse 7. That there is a generation of men that look clean in their own eyes, but yet they are deep in their filthiness. And then the higher you go, the more the purging that will be required. Because at higher levels, we are not talking about purging from sin. We are talking about purging from things that are good but not experienced. Somebody get what I'm saying here? Because sometimes you look at your life and say, I'm not fornicating, I'm not lying, I'm not cheating, I'm not fighting, I don't get angry. Alright, but the thing is that the Holy Spirit knows that there are some things in your life you call excellence, but this is that worldliness. And I begin to come and purify your land, your desires, help you up to the place where you ought to be. Praise God.
Amen. Bible with me quickly. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. If I dare say, amen. Alright, the book of Ephesians 6. We start the reading from verse 10. Ephesians 6, we start the reading from verse 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
All right, look at where it starts from. It says, finally. Right, this is the conclusion, this is the summary of my discussion with you. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and his what? Mighty power. Alright. We have listened to so many sermons that has portrayed God as the one who accepts us the way we are. And yes, he accepts you the way you are, but he is not in the business of keeping you like that. Because you must understand that when we talk about divine purging, we are talking about God aligning you to come to be like him. No lion can raise a lioness, or how would they put it, a cub that looks like a sheep. So it is not in the character of God to raise sons and daughters that will be weak. Though if you rise and fall, you go back to God, he accepts you. But he is not in the business, you get what I'm saying now, of keeping you in a posture where you keep rising and falling. If you make any mistake today, do you get what I'm saying now? And sometimes we go all over the place, we shout, we scream, and tell people who talk about the divine nature of God, and I tell them that they are preaching messages that are too hard and something. Let me say this to you. The fact that God is a God of grace doesn't mean you understand what grace means. Because grace is the instrumental that pushes you up to the place of strength. And that's where sin abounds, grace abounds what? Much more. Do you get what I'm saying now? So God, in his own knowledge of purging, brings sons and daughters who used to be very weak, frail and feeble. Do you get what I'm saying now? And enroll them in an institution where he by himself will pass them through the requirement of strength. Such that we will not be weaklings and yet say we are displaying the order of what our Father looks like. No weak Christian is a correct representation of God. No weak Christian. No Christian who is struggling with prayer. Do you get what I'm saying now? No Christian who is struggling with fasting, who is struggling with waiting upon the Lord, is a child of God. But as long as he's a babe, differeth him nothing from a servant until he's full of age. Do you get what I'm saying now? He's a child of God, but yet he is not a son to be manifested yet. For the earnest expectation of God of creation wait for what? The manifestation of sons of God, not of children. This guy is a child of God, is sincere in his heart. You get what I'm saying now? Sincerity does not make you one of God's armies. That you are sincere. You might be sincerely wrong. Sincerity doesn't count you worthy as one of God's army. You have to be strong in the Lord. You must understand this. Don't pamper yourself with scriptures that shows you that God accepts weaklings. He accepts weaklings, he does not manifest them. So we are not to sit comfortably on the edge where we become easy mark for the enemy. After the order of Ephesians chapter number 4. You read from verse 14 downwards, from the Message translation, said that do not remain babes, for children who are running in the woods are easy mark for the enemy. So sometimes what we need to be purged from is our mentality about God. And we think, we assume that as long as I'm a child of God, I'm sincere, it doesn't matter, today I fall into this and I come back tomorrow, God understands my weakness and this. Listen to me, he understands your weakness. And that doesn't mean you will not remain weak. Do you get what I'm saying now? He understands your weakness, but he is bringing you to the place of strength. Stop looking for people that will understand your weakness. Look for men who will challenge you out of that low level of mediocrity. God doesn't frontier people who are weak because they die on time in the battlefront. To die doesn't mean they lose their life. They become nonentities. Those who have once seen the glory of the Lord, but they lack the capacity to know that beyond the glory there is a God who is manifesting it. Because the glory of God can become so intense in your own life. Do you get what I'm saying now? That journey, that glory that is manifesting in your own life can stop your progress into God. You can become so powerful. I'm telling you that the glory of God begins to radiate in your life that you no longer see the enemy. And that's why the more the glory that is radiating, the more the level of humility you must wear. Because when you become humble, God has broken your heart through chastisement as a son. You have learned obedience through the things you suffer. You get what I'm saying now? The things you have learned has positioned your heart such that irrespective of what God is doing through you, you know the enemy is always lurking around the corner looking for who to devour. And you are not a sacred lamb that cannot be devoured. So what God does is that he wants to bring you away from a point where you think, stop thinking, that you can remain a prayerless Christian and yet you are manifesting God the way you ought to manifest him. It's a lie of the devil. So what the devil wants to do is that he wants to keep you in your weakness and make you think that is one way God relates to people. You know, just be a mediocre. Don't grow. Remain where you are. God accepts you in no time. You don't grow with time. You grow with revelation. So he tells you that, you know, with time you will come up higher. With time you will begin to manifest this. Excuse me, you may never manifest anything with time. Until sons come in time to understand what God is doing at that season, nothing will change in their life. So while time has it not been long in your life that you have been rising and falling, and the devil tells you that by the time you get to this level you will have changed. How well have you changed? And that tells you that anything the devil says that look like what keeps you convenient in a level that is low, it is not God that is speaking. Do you get what I'm saying now? And sometimes you are praying, the glory of God is so strong, and you hear a voice in your spirit saying that, why can't you just lie down a bit on the bed? You know, this glory is so strong. That is not the way God speaks. So finally, be strong. And that God is a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's strong. Lions are not weak. They are not emotional creatures. So stop being emotional Christians and then you cry up and down and tell people to just understand you and accept you the way you are. If people keep accepting you the way you are, your journey to destiny has been stopped. So stop being a sissy, stop being a child. Nobody will accept you the way you are. You must grow. The heir, though the heir of the house, but defieth him nothing from a servant as long as he's a child. Meaning that if you remain a child, all the things that will be manifesting in your life is the same thing that will be manifesting in the lives of those who are servants. Who are servants? Those who are not sons. Those who are outside. Jesus speaks to the disciples in John 15 verse 6. Says that, henceforth I call you no longer servant but friends. For a servant knoweth not the things of the master, but a friend knows all the things of the master. Now the things of God has been revealed not to servants but to friends. You get what I'm saying now? In Mark 4 verse 11, so unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For those that are outside, to them these things are parable. So though a child of God, yet we come to share God's word with you. And it looks like we have come to share something that is so big. That is what shows that you are still a servant. Servants are not custodians of mysteries. They are not custodians of the revelations of God. Do you get what I'm saying now? Though they are Christians, they are in the household. But when you share certain things, as you get to certain levels, they say they cannot cope. Even when they are not saying it, they know that what you are sharing now is beyond their pay grade. That's servant. So God is not in the business of maintaining anyone as a child. You must understand this. So be purged from every form of weakness, every form of mediocrity. It's like I cannot pray for 3 hours at a stretch. Sometimes I lock myself in the house and I tell them, I'll be out till midnight. And many believers can't stay. You lack the staying power. And in no time, you keep looking for pity partners everywhere. In no time, you personalize the kind of believers that should be pitied. Because everything about your life, you know, just keep showing, you know, the lifestyle of someone who is not going forward. And God is saying, be strong, be strong. Be strong. Don't think you'll be a mediocre. They ask you to come and share scriptures. You are so weak at it. Be strong. Huh? Don't be a sissy. Don't remain like that. Though you came in as a child, but don't remain a child. So we are having many Christians who change church and change leaders. There are so many people that you cannot share the truth with them because of the level of their complexity. They are yet small. They are not formed. They've not been exposed to the reality of what cooks people. Listen, when we talk to people becoming strong, you will hear the word and you will experience it. Huh? Do you get what I'm saying now? You will not just sit under sermons all your life. You will sit under someone, you will receive wisdom, you will take the wisdom to the school of life, and you will apply it there. That's where you are cooked. You will receive grace in the presence of God. It will cook you in the world. You know what I'm saying now? You will receive grace in God's presence. It will cook you in the world. You are not going to run away from them. You are going back there. It will use those who are not broken, those who are proud, those who are not prayerful, those who are worldly. They will do all those things, and you must develop immunity through the grace you have received before the Lord. So when God calls away from the world, He is not isolating you. He is separating you so that you will be there, but yet not contaminated. Does somebody get what I'm saying this morning? Somebody get what I'm saying here? So don't think what God wants to give you is escape velocity. You are not escaping anywhere. You get what I'm saying now? You are not what? Escaping anywhere. It will fill you with grace. It will fill you with strength. Those same people who are committing immorality, who are doing all those things, the things they are flaunting before, you will still see them. But you must have received a measure of wisdom and stature from the presence of the Lord, that when you come into those things, it no longer becomes what ought you again. Somebody get what I'm saying here? And that is what it means to be strong. Those who are strong don't escape from the enemy. There's no armor provided for your back. What you do is that you retreat. To retreat is to walk with your back. There's no occasion for us to turn back. You walk with your back and go and hide under the shadows of the Almighty. You get what I'm saying now? And God pumps you with strength. Pumps you with energy, because there are other believers in the world who are sick, who are weak, and then you are made strong to go and rescue them. When you remain weak, you become part of those that you rescued. And many of us, when God thinks and imagines in His heart that by this time you ought to be teachers, and that's what Paul was saying. He said, by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone should come and feed you with milk again. And many believers can't comprehend. They can't comprehend. Milk is not for those who are teachers. They eat strong bones. Milk is for survival. Bone, you eat it for thriving. You thrive. So you are no longer taking survival ration. Let's just take it so I can survive. You know, this retreat for some people is for survival. They are dying. They've been dying for a long time. But I need this so I can survive. But no, sir. Beyond this, you must go further. You got what I'm saying now? You are taking milk. What milk produces, what you are now taking. Milk makes bones strong. Now you are now taking that bone that is strong. Somebody gets what I'm saying here? Reduce a bit. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So God wants you to be very, very strong. Don't tolerate weaknesses. Don't say, this is the way I am, you know, this is how things are for me, you know, be based on the way I was raised up. Keep quiet. We are product of two things, nature and nurture. You were raised up. You get what I'm saying? The way you were born in the family, where that was where life positioned you. But you're also a product of nurture. Nurture can correct what nature didn't put where. Yeah. You're a product of nurture. Increase a bit. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If somebody gets what I'm saying here? So God wants you to be very what? Very strong in the Lord. He wants to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What is might? Capacity. So don't just be strong. Expand in your capacity. Have capacity. What can you do? And there are too many Christians, crowd, and most of them are beggarly. Beggarly after the anointing, beggarly after impartation. This is not those that Christ is coming. God is not coming for a beggarly church. He's coming for a church working in dominion. A church of Christians working in dominion. Those who are exercising power. Not those who are kneeling on the altar for a minister of God to lay hands on them. I bless God for impartation. You get what I'm saying now? We impart people, but it is for the lowest cadre of soldiers. The higher you go, you become those that God is used to impart. There will always be people that need impartation. Move away from amongst them. You will need impartation every level of your life. God, I'm saying that. All I'm saying is that don't remain a beggarly Christian that is so weak, like a beggar that has lost the form, bleeding everywhere, and needs that someone should just resuscitate me. No, sir. Impartation is good. We'll bless God for that ministry. But you must go. Because the church that Christ is coming for is a church that is walking in dominion, not the one the enemy has handicapped. Many of us, the enemy is bowing your head down, maltreating you, doing different things to you, but it seems there's nothing that can be done. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong in His might, capacity. Expand. You get what I'm saying? Be strong. Don't just be strong. Have capacity. Listen, you will not know you need capacity until you know that you are to be responsible for other Christians. Capacity development is to retain a measure of grace so as to be a supplier to those who need it for their own survival. And there are many Christians that, though they are Christians, though they are prayerful, you get what I'm saying now, though they can fast, but their capacity is low. Have you seen Christians who can do many things in God, but yet there's little that God can do? I will tell you the reason why you can have Christians, why you can be a Christian that is doing so much, but yet there is little that God can do with you. I'll tell you. Amongst the prices you pay to go higher in God, prayer and fasting is one of the easiest. I will tell you, it is one of the easiest. Write it down. Amongst the prizes, I don't count prayer. By the grace of God, I live my life every day here, right? Except it is later in the evening, getting, or I'm having, you know, discomfort. That's when I say, okay, what am I going to eat? So I've come to see the secret. You can pray and fast, you hear what I'm saying? And yet you are still not considered as a man or as a woman that God can do much with. Because you might be escaping into prayer and fasting. It can't bribe God. God has never eaten all the days of His life. So your fasting can't bribe Him. It can't bribe God. So beyond praying and fasting, there's something called aligning yourself. Alignment is coming into the will of God part time. And excuse me, it takes death. Beyond prayer and fasting, there's something called what? Alignment. Alignment is entering into God's will part time. Alignment is what Jesus was describing as, my Father walketh, it out where I walk, and I do what I see my Father do. Mean that I am aligned with the will of the Father part time. So I notice that you can be praying and fasting, but yet you can be holding grudges. You can be praying and fasting, but you get what I'm saying now? But yet you can be nursing malice. You can be praying and fasting, but yet you are walking in pride. You get what I'm saying now? What men find it difficult to live the most in their life is themselves. After they have left every other thing, the most difficult thing is themselves. And they struggle with the Lord. God, you see, what they are saying is that God is going to be painful. But what they are actually saying is that, God, I do not love you as much as I love myself. So it is easy to pray and fast, but yet hold on to your ego. And God is looking at you and saying, excuse me, these things can't bribe me. Prayer is not a sign of humility completely. Prayer shows that you are humble, you depend on God, but it is not a complete sign of your dependence on God. You can pray, sir, and yet still have your way. You get what I'm saying now? Do you know you can pray about the will of God for a matter, and yet it is already settled in your heart that this is what you are going to do? And that's why Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Wickedness there is not talking about having the ability to harm others. Talking about anything that deviates from the counsel of God is wicked. So it means that the heart of man is desperately after deviation away from the counsel of God. Who can search it? And God wants to take time and tell you that, listen, to increase in capacity, are you getting what I'm saying here? To increase in capacity, you must carry your cross and follow Jesus. You are not carrying the cross to go with Him to the point where you will look good. You carry the cross to go and die. And then you cannot say, listen, those who are carrying their cross, you know what I'm saying, and have not experienced death, They've not experienced death. They are the ones that say, do you know that I pray for 16 hours per day? You have not died. You have not died. Because you must say like Paul, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You get what I'm saying? But the life which I now live is the life of the Son of God. Meaning that everything you see me manifesting from now, excuse me, I have just come to learn what it means to walk in grace. Walking in grace is not that God has just poured something on you. Walking in grace is that God has empowered you. If you are empowered, it is not your power. I've come to a point in my life where I see that prayer flows. You get what I'm saying now? Prayer does what? It flows. So you don't boast about what is not your own flow. What you have to do is that you have to align yourself with the flow. If the flow is still on for 4 hours, keep praying. If the flow is still on for 6 hours, keep what? Praying. If you come out of prayer ground and say, I prayed for 6 hours today, you are watching time. You have not prayed. You may pray, but yet pride is not dead. And this is the reason why sometimes the most prayerful people are the most wicked people, and God cannot use a wicked man to do anything important. He will bless them, give them financial things they need. They will come and share testimony in church, child dedication and all that. But when it comes to kingdom matters, you see them, they are not doing much. They can't do much. You must, let's separate testimonies from testimonies. There are testimonies that are outer court testimonies. I bless God for people that we pray for and then they have a lot. They do many things. God bless you with admission and does so many things. I bless God for all those things. You get what I'm saying now? Those are testimonies. But there are testimonies that are testimonies indeed. You get what I'm saying now? There are testimonies that are what? Testimonies indeed. These ones are deeper. They are not about the things that the flesh can have. Somebody who is wicked, whose ways is deviated from the will of God, can have all these things. The Israelites were walking in disobedience to God in the wilderness, but yet their shoes didn't cut, their health didn't fade. Divine health is not a proof that you are divinely healthy. It's not a proof, sir. It's not a proof. You might be enjoying divine health as a function of your understanding of the principles of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the area of the truth, you know. You may know the truth about divine health. You get what I'm saying now? That doesn't mean if we scan your own divine health that you are healthy. No, sir. Divine health is that your physical body is experiencing something of divinity. That doesn't mean that your spiritual health is fine. So when we are coming to give testimony, let's put them in context. You get what I'm saying now? Somebody who is walking against the will of God can have everything anybody can have. And that's why God was warning David that don't let your eyes go after the path of the wicked. For though they boast in their prosperity, but they fade like grasses in the noonday. You get what I'm saying now? They may have everything. Somebody who is disobeying God may have everything. Financial provision, abundance, materials you can see. You are not a proof that God is happy with you. God does what he does because he's a good God, not because you're a good child. Let's separate issues. God does what he does because he's a good God. Let's separate the operations of the good God from the whole manifestation as a good son or daughter. They are two different things. So when we bless God for the things he's doing because he's good, make sure you align yourself with his own precepts so you can come to a point that you are good too. When we have the combination of a good God and a good child, there is revival. But we might be boasting about what the good God is doing. He gives you safety. He does so many things. The same rain that falls on the field of a wicked man will fall on the field of a righteous man. That's the benevolence of God. True or not true? Good. God is benevolent in his ways. That is who he is. He's a merciful God. He forgives. He pardons. There are many things that God does because of his nature. He's too big to keep malice or old grudges. Have you read the book of Job chapter number 1, that when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, then the devil also came among them? Listen, you might be walking in wickedness and the presence of God is still accessible. The devil had fallen. I don't know if there's any man that has fallen like the devil. When it comes to people that are falling, he is the leader in falling, being in falling state. He has fallen for ages. But yet the sons of God were coming to present themselves before God, and yet he has access. You may have access into some things, but excuse me, what you will not have is coming out with something tangible from the place where you have access to. The devil still have access to God's presence, but he's not coming out of the presence with wisdom. He's not coming out of the presence with acknowledgement. is not coming out of the presence with humility. No, he has access. So access into the glory of God is not a proof that you are aligned, sir. There is a forging that must come for alignment to take place. Do you get what I'm saying now? You may have access into the things of the... Let me say this to you. You might be walking in your own ways, but yet God still gives you access into some level of the truth. Particularly if you're a Christian whose life is fashioned to receive truth so you can be a blessing to people. You'll be receiving truth to be a blessing to them. But like a lamp that sees the whole world, you will not see yourself. You get what I'm saying now? Have you seen yourself light a candle? You see that the shadows is casted beneath the candle. Light don't have shadows. Alright? Light don't have shadows. Yes, what is casted down beneath the candle is the weight, the person, the shape of the candle. You get what I'm saying now? You might be a Christian that is desperate about the power. And this, we need to really align this. Let's get this straight. Sometimes your own desire is not to be fine. That's why you need purging, you know? Your desire is to be a blessing to people, not to be blessed. You get what I'm saying now? And that is not wisdom. Sometimes if you are that kind of person whose life is arranged in such a way that what you want to be, you get what I'm saying now, is to be a blessing to people and keep blessed. God will feed you with wisdom for them, but you will not be wise. He will feed you with wisdom for the people. You will have it. You will say things to them and then they will be amazed. But your life will not be a total, it will not even be a reflection of anything you are saying. Though you are feeding nations, but you are starving. If a medical, in the case of someone who has diabetes, there is excess sugar in the body, but the cells is starving of sugar. So it becomes weak. You get what I'm saying? You have excess to go around, so that it is even constipating you. But you are not blessed yourself. You are reviving people from death, but you are dying. So, when it comes to purging, you get what I'm saying now? You must understand, prayer alone is not conclusive that a man is getting it right. You get what I'm saying now? You might be praying, but yet there are different... When you get to junctions in this teaching, you get what I'm saying? And you sense a need to stand. We are on the mountain to pray. You get what I'm saying now? You are praying, you are fasting. Have you noticed that these things have become rituals in your life? But yet your heart is like a land that the Lord cannot break through. It is so ardent that even after praying and then God brings something to you, you are still so standing as a boss that what you have said is what will stand. Sometimes we go to ask God for his will about a matter, but yet our own conclusion of the matter is settled. What God is saying, notwithstanding, we complain that God is not speaking, but when your heart is hard, your ears will be blocked. He will speak, you will not hear. Because even if you hear, you will not do them. You get what I'm saying now? So what God does is this. He makes it very clear. There is prayer. You get what I'm saying? Prayer can bring you into alignment, but prayer is not alignment. Prayer can bring you into alignment. You can pray to a point that the Holy Spirit will begin to show you, but prayer is not alignment. But one of the prayers that is more essential for a New Testament believer is that open the eyes of my understanding. You see what I'm saying now? That when Paul was praying for the Ephesians 12, Ephesians 1:18, that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you may know. The word know there is the word acknowledge. You get what I'm saying now? Listen. You may know him as Pastor Julius Ayodoba. You get what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you have acknowledged him. Seeing, you get what I'm saying? Knowing is like looking at something. Acknowledgement is like seeing it. You may be looking at someone in church, but you have not acknowledged the grace they carry. You may know something, but until you acknowledge it, your knowledge will not do you good. This is why when you increase in knowledge without acknowledgement, you increase in sorrow. Because knowledge on its own can depress you. Somebody get what I'm saying here? So what God is saying is this. That's what you must get the balance. You get what I'm saying? As a believer, are you aware that even unbelievers fast? Muslims fast 40 days in a year. Excuse me. True or not true? These guys pray 5 times in a day. I know we pray 5 times in a day. They pray 5 times in a day. They fast 40 days in a year. And sometimes they have some things they have to do. And then they still fast more. These guys have recitations they do daily. You get what I'm saying now? They do daily meditations. They sit on their skin. They meditate on different things. Keep chanting the same thing. Keep chanting the same thing. They have access into the spirit world, but not the divine world. You get what I'm saying now? that you are, listen, many of us want to be spiritual Christians. It is not every Christian that is spiritual that is divine. There are spiritual Christians who know knowledge of spiritual things, but they know nothing about divine things. To know about divine, you enter, you journey from spirituality to being divine after death. Ought not Christ to have suffered and died before he enter into his glory? You hear what I'm saying now? You begin to enter into the realm of God. You might have entered into the realm of spiritual things. You know general things about spiritual things. You know the laws that govern it. Anybody can know these things. Even an herbalist knows them. They know how to manipulate the gate of the spirit world. They know how to do many things. They know how to, you know, say many things, you know, that will give them access, and they come and conjure different, they manipulate laws. So believers that you have access into some things that are spiritual doesn't mean you have access into divine things. Divine things start with the revelation of the wisdom of God. Do you know the wisdom of God? The Bible says that this wisdom is too high. A carnal man cannot attain it. They are foolishness to those that are dying and perishing. You hear what I'm saying now? So as believers, we must understand this. When you to pray alone does not increase your capacity. Death expands your capacity like no man's business. Death, death to self. Death, death, death to your will. Death to your ego. Let me give you an illustration of what God did with Abraham. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? And God gave Abraham Isaac, his son. And look up. The part of your life where you are likely going to feel the most is immediately after your prayers has been answered. What did I say? The aspect of your life where you are likely going to feel the most is immediately after your prayers has been answered. One of the reasons why there seems to be delay in answering in answered prayers is not that we have a God who is slow to hear. Before you say it, he has heard. As long as it is in your heart, God has seen it. You get what I'm saying now? Good. But sometimes delay comes because this man is not aligned enough not to be carried away by the dividends of this prayer. Because you can be a prayer warrior, but the result of prayer snatch away from prayer. Huh? The result of prayer can snatch away from what? Prayer. When these things happen, you are seeing men who are not seeking the face of God but seeking the hands of God. Every man is designed to stop when he gets to the level of what he is after. If a man is after a girl for a body, when he gets the body, he stops. You get what I'm saying now? The drive for continuity stops in every human when they get their needs met. And sometimes we are calling God. You know, Moses was saying that God should show him his face, but God answered that, I will make my goodness to pass. Because God saw that you were asking about my face, but what you really mean is my goodness. And that's why I said that even your hunger must be purged. Because sometimes your hunger is to be amongst those that will be manifesting the level of glory of God. You see people troop around them, it impresses you. You are looking for a day that people will be trooping around you too. So you are paying the price. Excuse me. When we talk about paying the price, you are paying the price for what? Are you paying the price for influence or are you paying the price for access into God? If it is about access into God, it will withhold influence until you are its son. It will withhold it. Huh? You get what I'm saying now? Sometimes we are paying the price. We really want something that is exceptional. But the price we are paying actually is not about God. But once God gives you that thing, you notice that you start dying again. Because that is what you really want. And that's why the heart of man is so far. And you need the Holy Ghost through the instrumental of the word to dig deep and show you to you. If not, you will not be healed. Does somebody get what I'm saying here? Is somebody get what I'm saying here? Good. So prayer is, and then paying the price. So someone chatted me up on social media and said, I want you to mentor me, but not that. Can you just mentor me anytime I need advice? Just this. I said, these are not Christians. I did reply. These are not the set of Christians that can stand the test of time. Excuse me. God will bring mentors. They will sit on you. You will say you have heard from God. They will veto it. Huh? Have you not failed in the things that you said God spoke to you? Talk to me. You know, I told you I'm going to release a book on how to be led by the Spirit and fail. And it is actually how to be led by the Spirit and fail to submit under men. You cannot override that system. You will fail all the same. You hear what I'm saying now? Very important. So sometimes we have Christians who are praying. We have Christians who are fasting. They will tell you they are paying the price, but check them. They are not entering into alignment. You know, you cannot say you love God until you have died. Abba, what do you think? You cannot say, I love God with all of my heart. You cannot love God with all of your heart. Right? Your love for God begins after you have tasted death. And that's when you begin to know what it means to love God for your own heart, with your own heart. You see, love is not love until there is an alternative. You get what I'm saying now? What did I say? Love is not love until there is what? You see, the alternative of your love for God is not your job. The alternative of your love for God is not your work. The alternative of your love for God is not your wife, not your spouse, not your husband. The alternative of your love for God is you. Because the only one who can contend with it is your love for yourself. Not even your love for the world. You love the world because you love yourself. You get what I'm saying now? You give yourself to pleasure because of the way you feel about it. It is in any kind of love that is inordinate about, you know, different kind of loves in the world. It is your love for yourself that has the capacity to contend with your love for God. So death is like what God did to Abraham. God gave him a son. And God made sure that the son was grown to the point that he can begin to see the resemblance between himself and the son. And God said to him, Abraham, give me your only son Isaac, whom you love so much. And then many of you read that Abraham took the son, took wood, took a knife, took servant, and said they should go. But what you may not hear is the part where Abraham cried. No man makes such decision without tears. Anywhere you see a man dying, it is always against his will. And then tears flow. I've been privileged to be where people are dying. They cry. Not weeping, oh, tears flow. Something tells you that this fellow doesn't want to go. Abraham will never want to release Isaac. He will prefer. Listen, if you have heard, if God had told Abraham to release himself, you'll be reading the Bible today and say Abraham killed himself. But sometimes you release something big, but yet it's not a price. It is a price when it touches you, the core of you. It may be big, it is not a price. You get what I'm saying? But when it touches that core of you, and one of the ways to know it is that it is the thing you struggle to give the most. You say, how about this one, Lord? How about this one? But God says, it is this one. It is like trying to select meat in a pot, and then somebody has eyed one meat. Say, that meat has eyed it. And it comes to give you another meat that is bigger, but not that one. But when it comes to God, the intensity of your sacrifice is not based on the magnitude, but based on the string it is putting in your heart. And then you say, let me give you this big meat. It's not that big meat. This one here, that is the one you must release. Sometimes these things are not the things you do, you know, just in the place of prayer alone. After prayer, then God said, having prayed, do this. Somebody get what I'm saying here? Somebody get what I'm saying here? And God told Abraham, release your son Isaac, your only son, whom you love so much. And Abraham had locked himself for several days in the house and cried. All the days of his life he had been mocked. They had called him father of many nations. Now they are going to call him killer of many nations. Huh? Killer of his sons. He was, listen, you must understand the rudiment. Number one, Abraham never told Sarah about what he was going to do. Do you get what I'm saying? Meaning that Abraham had come to a point where he was ready to offer Isaac and also die. Such that whenever he gets back home and Sarah chooses to poison him, he's ready to die. If God had requested for Abraham, for Sarah, it would have been much more easier. Abraham sacrificing Isaac meant he had sacrificed everything in his life. There are some times that you sacrifice one thing, but with that one thing that is gone, it means that you have sacrificed everything in your life. Because this one thing holds the strength to every other thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? So Abraham was ready that as long as marriage that has been going peacefully between himself and Sarah, the company they've enjoyed, now he's ready to lose Sarah. Because she will ask him, where is Isaac? And then he will say, I have killed him. Because God has requested for him to die. He had counted his cost. He had weighed his options. He had settled in his mind that I'm ready to love, to lose what I love the most and every other thing I love. If you can lose what you love the most, how much more every other thing you love? So sometimes God is not asking for what you love or what you love the most. Because when you lose what you lost the most, those other things you love dies. You get what I'm saying now? It is like God is trying to kill something whose life is connected to the life of every other thing. Somebody get what I'm saying here? Alignment. Alignment. You know, sometimes many believers argue about the subject of tithing and first fruit. Let's assume it is a wrong doctrine. But the reason why you fight giving is because it puts a string on you. Huh? True or not true? It puts a string. I was trained not to give, you know, the most important thing. I was trained to give all. God started training me about giving when I was in secondary school. And he started showing me compassion about people who are in the world who are suffering. And he trained me. Every time I'm coming from school, I keep my pocket money and give it to beggars on the road. I didn't know God was doing something. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it is so easy. It's like a woman that is married. There's nothing wrong about giving her body to her husband. But you must understand, there's something she holds dear more than her body, is her money. Your husband have access to her body, but he doesn't know the salary she earns. And that's the way we relate with God sometimes. You have access to me, Lord, he made me do this. But when it comes to this one, excuse me, Lord, I cannot drop this one. Ah. And sometimes we are not boldly saying I cannot, oh, but we mean it. With the way we are so serious that when things get worse, I just, you know, you can mortify the voice of God. You can choose to make his voice weak, that he is speaking, but yet he's not holding water. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you can do that. That you have chosen through your life and your adamant nature, your strong head, you know, that God will begin. And the same powerful God who spoke to Abraham about his child can't speak to you about his child card. Because when it comes to gravity of words, it has to do with two people. One, who is speaking and who is listening. The same God who said to someone, go here, can say to another one, go there, I say go there, I say go there, and he will not listen. And yet God looks so unpowerful in the life of many believers. If it's not powerful to be Lord, it cannot be powerful to save. Yeah. In the days of your calamity, you will call upon him and will say, my ears are not too heavy to hear you, but your sin has separated between us. And sometimes the Christians will fall helplessly and sheepishly in the hands of the devil. Because in the days God was instructing, they would not listen. When we talk about purging, you know what I'm saying now? It will purge you. Your desires will be ordinate. They will come into order. You not just say, I'm hungry after God, I'm passionate about God. Excuse me. You said you are passionate about God, but when you raise the first person away from wheelchair, you stopped praying. Are you really passionate about God? You said you were passionate about God, but the moment he gave you a job, the only thing you post on social media is how that prayer cannot help Nigeria. You have to come into the business sector and do so many things. Have you fallen so hard that you fail to understand that you that came to know that is now saying this is about the job and those things. You pray to get the job in the first place. You hear what I'm saying now? And we come to some point that, you know, the things we prayed for now became the things that are now dragging us away from walking into destiny. And God is saying, this was not how you started. We used to see you in those days go to church to sweep church. There are many Christians that I must tell you, God doesn't know fear, but he's afraid of promoting you. Because you have not shown him that you can sustain greatness. You have only wished for it, but in his mercy, he has to withhold it from you. Sometimes many people have to spend 40 years in the wilderness, in the mercy of God. Because if they enter into the promised land, they have not sustained the stature that can defeat the Amalekites. Eh? When they get to their promised land, you must understand, every promised land you are hoping for, enemies are inhibiting it now. They are there. You get what I'm saying now? But because you are failing to come into stature of trusting God, you will have to prolong your walk in the wilderness. Not so you can die there. You may die there, but yet it will be an act of mercy. Don't let anyone deceive you that you may not die there. You may die there. God can be withholding greatness for a man, and he may die in poverty and make heaven. Because if God should bless him now, you get what I'm saying now? If God should bless him now, he will have money, but he will fall off faith. You get what I'm saying now? In the book of, what is it called? First Timothy chapter number 4 from verse 1. The Bible says that the spirit speaketh expressly, in the later times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seductive spirit and doctrine of demons. You get what I'm saying now? And sometimes God sees in his mercy, it is better that this one remains very small. And let's keep him small and excellently small. He is praying, let him pray. You know what I'm saying? As long as he is small, he is praying. But there's something in his heart that I've seen. If you bless this one now, he will become an enemy of the church. If you bless this one now, he will trample on the face of people. If you bless this one now, he will no longer seek me. The day I give this one husband, I will not see him in my presence again. for the next 20 years until he falls into danger before he now comes. And in the mercy of God, he's withholding promotion from people because they are not aligned to handle it. Many are in alignment to handle being small. They are in alignment to handle poverty. They are not in alignment to handle prosperity. It is in the wisdom of God. That's why you must be wise. Don't just pray and pray like chattered boxes. Align yourself. Let God deal with your heart. Your prayer will be answered quickly if your heart is dealt with. Somebody get what I'm saying here? I'm telling you, there is no height that God will not take a man who is broken to. God told Pastor Hiyi Adebue, he said, draw a man on the floor, wipe it off. He said, the day you become proud, I will wipe you away from the face of the earth, such that no one will remember you exist. If you don't know that it is possible, I will tell you that the man who mentored Joseph Ayo Babalola, you don't even know his name, but yet he mentored Babalola. His story is available. He died in an hotel bed with a woman, but yet he mentored that great apostle. That's a typical example of men that God can wipe off without a trace. The one who gave you influence can shut it up. You get what I'm saying now? And sometimes you are crying, you are praying, you are seeking God. It is because you are small in your own eyes. You are small. And after God has made you big, it becomes difficult. Why is it that God becomes the enemy of Christians when he answers their prayers? And the same God becomes their enemy. When we are dealing with issues of alignment, we are talking about the heart. The heart. The heart. You pray with your mouth, but your heart can be far. The heart. God will come. He will tabernacle there. He will veto the things that are there. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? And that's why you must really cry to God. Don't expose me until I'm ready. Don't expose me. I'm not asking for exposure. I'm asking for preparation. Sometimes you need to know what you really want. Is it exposure? Is it fame? Or stature? Because sometimes we have come to equate fame with stature. It's not true, sir. Saul was the most famous man in Israel, but the one with the stature to kill Goliath was David. So if you are wise, you will ask for stature. You ask God, don't expose me, oh. Don't reveal me. Don't manifest me until I'm ready. Listen, the earnest expectation of creation waits for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Hold on. Hold on. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But that scripture did not tell us who manifests them. Huh? Children can manifest themselves. But sons wait for God to manifest them. You can begin to parade yourself about with pride. When you manifest yourself, the world will give you audience. So you know they will give you audience. You will do one or two things, but it will fizzle out in no time. Because you lack what sustains men in the place of manifestation. If somebody gets what I'm saying here? If you manifest yourself, you jump out of the institution of God's training. You know, when the water is hot and you are alive, you jump out. And that's why you must die, so you don't feel the pain. You get what I'm saying now? And you rush out, manifest yourself. People will give you attention, they will be blessed. But you know, like orange, when you drink what is sweet in it, you throw it away. But when God manifests you, he pumps you with ever increasing sweetness. Such that for years, they've been drinking from this fountain, but yet it's not dry. That is when you are not manifesting with wells of living water. You wait for him to make it a river. When it is well and thousands are drinking from it, it dries out. When it is a river, it keeps pumping. Why? Because the river knows how to give and yet receive.
Jesus Christ.
It is pumping out, flowing to thousands, but yet it has an open border for the reception of what will flow into it. Do you get what I'm saying now? The only body of water in the world that nothing flows into it and nothing flows out is called the Dead Sea. Nothing flows into it. You get what I'm saying? Anything you throw there floats. And many believers, you can jump out, you can begin to parade yourself. There are some things that will happen in your ministry you must not share. Because when you share, people will give you attention ahead of time. And when they give you attention ahead of time, you will begin to manifest. You cannot help misbehaving if you manifest ahead of your time. Excuse me, you will misbehave. If you look at your hand was tight, you will misbehave. You cannot help it. Because what it takes for you not to misbehave is that it's what will be deposited in you as God is preparing you for the future. And he must be the one to tell you it is time. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Abi, before his fame was noised abroad. But that's not the complete truth. The complete truth was that he grew for 30 years. Because you may say Jesus fasted for 40 days. You might only be going for 1 year and fast for 40 days and say it's time for your fame. You are lying. He grew for 30 years. How do I know that? From age 12, he started teaching people. But excuse me, for 30 years, then God saw that it was time. And even when the time came, fasting was not a school that was to be jumped. I didn't know where you got your own faith from that told you that the point you have gotten to now, excuse me, you no longer fast. You are lying. Jesus grew for 30 years. That's why his ministry has no excuse, no blame, no blemish in his life. It took 30 years to prepare. You are still struggling with 5 years of preparation. You want people to see you and know you. Excuse me. And that's why we are not like Jesus. And he duplicated the same process in disciples. He called them that they should be with him. And he might manifest them. He might send them forth. Jesus was with God. When it was time for God to send him forth, God did. Huh? He did not ask for it. God did. If you are truly aligning yourself, you will not be asking for power. Power is a product of cooperation with the precept and the ordinance of God. You will become powerful by cooperating. You get what I'm saying now? Power is cooperation with God. And Jesus was manifested. Your desires must be ordinate. It must be clean. It must be clean. Sometimes you are a man that has been maligned. People have looked down on you. You have grown in the place where they feel you are low self-esteem. You get what I'm saying? You have looked at minister of God like Benihim, stretching forth hands. People are falling under anointing. And yet, little came. Little. The one you stretch forth your hands and people are falling under. And pictures are flooding everywhere. Sir, that's not God dealing with you. If God is dealing with you at some point, your recorder will pack off. Because this message must not go out. This one is not formed. Though wisdom is flowing through him. But wisdom is not deposited in him enough to sustain limelight. The wisdom to be in obscurity is smaller compared to the one needed to be in limelight. When you are in limelight, you are noted both by the host of God and the host of hell. The host of God are praying for you and sometimes they are not doing it faithfully. But the host of hell are faithfully attacking you. So God is saying, wait in the shadows. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. So wait in the secret place. Let power be pumped into you. You get what I'm saying now? Let power. Now is not the time for manifestation. Now is the time for preparation. Don't confuse it. Don't jump into manifestation when you are in the season of preparation. If you jump, you'll be terminated on time. And sometimes you don't need the enemy to terminate you. You can terminate yourself. And God is saying, what I'm doing now, I'm teaching you service. Nobody can call. You know, people who have never served before and they enter into ministry, they fail. Yes, and most times when they fail, they are not even aware they are failing. They fail. And God is saying, this is what I'm doing at this time in your life. Sit down there. Sit down. No, not you. I mean, sit down. God is saying, sit down. Learn. Sit down and learn. Learn. Don't jump out and say, nobody can teach me again. The Holy Ghost has taught me everything. When you fall, the Holy Ghost will be on strike. The Holy Ghost doesn't go on strike. But it is the Spirit of the Lord. There is only liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. True or not true? And the Spirit of God takes the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord when there is a man to lord over. So you might not experience liberty because there's no man that God has lorded over that is lording over you. And you jump out and start manifesting your pictures everywhere, trying to show people that something is there. And God is saying, this is not the strategy of end time revival. Though I have placed the burden within you, but wisdom demands that the burden should be more about staying than going. Because where are you going to? The direction, the strength for it will be given to you in the place of staying. Those that will bring revival are not those hungry for revival, but those that are hungry for God. And you see revival flow through them, and there's nothing the enemy can do to stop it. Do you get what I'm saying now? Because revival can flow through you and you stop being revived. When you ask for revival, do you know what you are asking for? You are asking for something that will keep you busy for the rest of your life. Busy with what? Somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
busy with what? And that's why, listen. This is the way this thing is. Some people have gone ahead of you in life. You get what I'm saying? When you jump out without being prepared, you will have speed, but you don't have capacity. Let me explain. Somebody that God prepares will have speed. He may not have speed though, but the most important thing he will have is capacity. Now, the difference between speed and capacity is like a fast moving car without fuel. When the fuel finishes, it stops inevitably. Nothing can help him. He will have to stop. True or not true? But when God pumps fuel into you, irrespective of your speed, you will overtake that one. So the most important thing that God wants to give you is not speed, it is fuel. Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They will mount up with the wings like eagles. So waiting, that's where you are giving fuel. Running, that's where you are giving speed. Stop running, wait. Somebody get what I'm saying here? And sometimes you look at ministers of God, you are happy. You look at the glory that God is manifesting through them. You ask them to come and mentor you. Meanwhile, what you just want is affiliation. You just want to be able to say amongst your friend that I have access to this man of God. You will not believe it. Oh, I have access. I have his number. I can even give you now. I have access to him. But that's the way we are with God. You get what I'm saying now? That's some of us, that's the way we are with God. You just want to say, like Samson. You can be cut off from the flock of power. Delilah did not finish Samson. Delilah only concluded his finishing. Because as a Nazarite, not cutting the hair was just one of the rules given to him. You get what I'm saying? Just no. Delilah never finished him. Delilah only concluded his finishing. And many believers have been finished. But like a fan that you unplug from power, they keep rolling. Until it becomes obvious to us all that this thing has been unplugged from power. Only God knows for how long. Anywhere you hear of scandal, it is not a dating. There has been a system of unplugging that has gone ahead for a while. We don't know how long. All we just see is that, but this fellow yesterday still did this. But how come? Power will flow even when you move out of alignment. So power is a dangerous thing to test your level of alignment. It's a dangerous thing. And Samson still carried the gate of a city on his shoulder, despite the fact that he was coming out from the place of an harlot. He still carried the gate, carried it on his shoulder and climbed the mountain. And sometimes you have broken the precept of God, but yet utterance still comes. Utterance. And say, I have utterance. But you are busy walking in disobedience. These things are gifts of God. Gifts are a function of how faithful God is. Not how faithful you are. Until God sits on you, nothing will be bettered. Somebody get what I'm saying here? I'm still talking about Ephesians 1. Be strong in the Lord and in his might, in his mighty power. So might, capacity is increased, not just by praying. But God must break something in your heart. When he breaks it, there's a point you enter into overflow of the wisdom of God. But excuse me, you will not enter into that realm until God has seen that you have dropped certain things and you are ready to drop more. Sometimes God lays a demand on you to drop something. Not because he ever needs that thing, but because he needs your desire of that thing. And sometimes when he kills your desire of that thing, he gives you back the thing. He's not interested in anything. He's not interested in your direction. He's not interested in your ambition. But anything that comes to threaten being number one in your life, it is the mountain God will take off. Purging may have to do with God exposing you. True or not true? Yes. Yes. Somebody has a snake bite but bandage it, he will soon die. But when it comes to purging, he will open the bandage and then begin to draw out the poison from inside. God deals with what is on the inside, not what is on the outside. People will see the bandage and say you are being healed, but you have a poison inside and it's time to flush it out. And the system will open your leg the more. We'll put pressure. You get what I'm saying now? We'll apply pressure. Force blood. Both what is good and what is not good will leave you. You get what I'm saying? Have you seen where someone with snake bite is being treated? Yes. You tie the legs. And then you are forcing out blood. Both the poison and good blood will flush out. Sometimes when God wants to purge you, both good people and bad people will walk out of your life. Listen, bad people is a function of treatment. They are the treatment. They need to go out for you to be treated. But the good people that will leave you are the scar. that must remain so that you will not have the same injury again. God will say, now it's time for you to be healed, though. And listen, both the good and the bad will leave you. You get what I'm saying? And you must let them go. They will go. You get what I'm saying now? They will what? They will go. Listen, purging has a lot to do with coming into a point where you are 100% naked before God. No more lies. No more pretense. Nothing to be covered. You have been exposed. What's left? That's purging. The day that Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. When I saw the Lord, I saw my nakedness. And when I saw it, I have to come to a point where I acknowledge that with me. Isaiah would never believe that he was a fool as long as Uzziah was alive. He would never believe. There are some things you would never believe as about yourself as long as you have alternatives. But when those alternatives die, then it occurs to you, I've been a man walking in lies. Look at me. What I need now is help. Say, for I'm a man of unclean lips. A man of what? Unclean. I've been lying. All my life, I've been lying. I've been asking you to repent. Meanwhile, I have loads of things I have to repent from. But you never experience these things until something dies. Something has to die. You get what I'm saying now? Death is a pathway of glory. Listen, when we talk about death, we are lovers of that institution. Because that is where graduates are produced from. And the graduates are those who remain students all their lives, so not those who leave school. You get what I'm saying now? You graduate from school, Obafemi University or University of Lagos or University of Ibadan. You graduate from school and you never pick books to read again all your life. Very soon you look like one who have never passed through school. True or not true?
Yes.
And God will tell you what I want to give you. Sometimes you don't know. You don't know. So you ask God. God test me with so much and see the kind of heart I have for you. No, sir. God doesn't test you with abundance to know if you have a heart for it. He knows your heart. And your state is a reflection of your heart that he has known. Yes, your present state. Say, God, test me with so much and see if I will not do good things. It's a lie of the devil. He has given you little. You are not faithful in it. You are not qualified for what it takes to be tested with so much. God doesn't test anyone so much. He gives them. When they are faithful with little. If somebody gets what I'm saying here, today you will ask that your heart, your desire will be purged. You will ask God, he will come, he will purify you, he will purge your desire. You will see, you will begin to see that, listen, I'm a wicked Christian. I've just been trying to use God. I'm like that guy that has been telling this girl I love you, meanwhile I'm after the body. I've just been trying to, I've been praying, I've been doing extra cool with God, praying at night, but yet I'm not after him. God, I need help, I need purging.
Lord, don't expose me until I'm ready. Till I'm ready. Till I'm ready.
Ask God, don't expose me. Don't expose me till I'm ready. Don't expose me. Don't expose me. Oh, my heart, this thing I call heart, must be purged here today. It must be purged. I can never continue like this. Never. It is occurring to me that I'm not after you. How do I know that? If you fail to give me influence, I will look for it another way. I will lie, I will cut corners, just so men will know I have something. Don't expose me till I'm ready.
Don't expose me until I'm ready. Till I'm ready. You provide the fire, I provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, I will open up inside. You provide the fire, I provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, I will open up inside. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Love, don't expose me till I'm ready. I'm ready.
Ask God, oh, you help me. Don't walk in this realm. Dive. Let brokenness swallow you up completely and dive in. Purge me. Lenon zubrahati kalabas yata baladabas sekredi gibusha. Rekebelenianto zigrahade kesha. Purge me. Don't pray prayers that lack sincerity. Pray from the depth of your heart. Purge me. I understand I've been busy proclaiming your name. I understand I've been busy doing many things, but I'm busy but guilty. I need help. Waiting is the true definition of wisdom when it comes to relating with you. I need help.